This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Mary Louise Kelly. When you give birth to a baby who weighs less than 2 pounds, no one knows what kind of flowers to send. That's the opening line of Alexa Stevenson's memoir about giving birth to her daughter 15 weeks early. The book chronicles the trouble Stevenson had getting pregnant, the trouble she had staying pregnant, and then the terrifying months her daughter spent in intensive care. And here's the twist. This is a very funny book. It's called Half-Baked, the story of my nerves, my newborn, and how we both learned to breathe. Alexa Stevenson told me she was 22 weeks along, just past the halfway point in her high-risk pregnancy with twins, when things began to go very wrong. Doctors told her she had lost one of the babies.
They saw that my son's heart had stopped. It put their whole pregnancy at risk at that point. I was put on bed rest indefinitely.
You were carrying a boy and a girl, and
yes.
The little girl was still doing great as far as they could tell.
Yep, as far as they could tell. I think there were still maybe 9 or 10 days before she would have been viable outside the womb. I was already having some contractions and trying to stave off premature labor as long as possible. And my water ended up breaking right at 24 weeks. And then I went into the hospital for some more bed rest there.
Now, amazingly, at this point in your pregnancy, you managed to retain a sense of humor as you're in the hospital on bed rest. There's a passage I'd love to see if we could get you to read on page 96.
By 25 weeks, I had the belly of a woman a month or so past her due date, or one who'd had an ill-advised affair with a circus elephant, doomed to gestate for 21 months. Naked, I was comical, like a snake that had swallowed a Buick. My tent of a hospital gown only made matters worse, creating an unmistakable resemblance to something that at first I couldn't place, but eventually identified as a weeble. Simone had another test, and this time got full marks for breathing. The nurse got a good shot of her face, one where she looked like a real baby instead of something out of Georgia O'Keeffe's Bony Period.
How do you keep a sense of humor when you, A, are looking and presumably feeling terrible, and B, are in a very difficult point in a very difficult pregnancy?
Humor gives you sort of a distance. There's a distance necessary for humor, and it's somewhat protective. It helps you have perspective on the situation in a way that is harder to do when you aren't able to look at it through that lens.
Well, and I guess you needed all the humor and perspective you could get for what was to
yes.
come. Right after that, at 25 weeks into your pregnancy, your daughter Simone was born. And as you write it, you were like any new mom, relieved, I'm sure, and also just delighted and proud
yes.
and maybe not quite comprehending yet how much danger she was in.
Yes. At the time, I was just so deliriously happy. I'm sure some of it was hormones and, you know, large quantities of morphine. But
that always
it
helps.
Was also, you know, I looked at the pictures of her from that day. I have all these Polaroids that now, I mean, to most people, they're kind of horrifying pictures. She's wrapped in like a plastic bag to keep her warm, and her skin is all raw and bruised looking, and she's on a ventilator, and I just thought she was the most adorable thing I'd ever seen.
Simone was a micro preemie, is the term you used, and she spent, was it about 3 months in intensive care?
Yeah, 3.5 months, about that.
3.5 months. And while there, she went through, a terrifying list of complications, surgery to repair a hole in her heart and kidney failure and multiple blood transfusions. Was there a moment that stands out for you, Alexa Stevenson, when you had to look at your daughter and grapple with the knowledge that she might not make it?
Oh, yes. I'm not entirely sure what happened after the surgery, what went so very wrong. She was very sick and was put on a different ventilator called the oscillator, which was a terrifying machine.
You write about it in all caps. It's so occupied your psyche.
I feel it deserves the capitalization, yes. It was huge. It took up her whole room, and it was so loud you couldn't even talk over it. And we were told that if she didn't start getting better, the longest she could keep on the way she was maybe a day or two. And that evening, she was up to 100% oxygen and still no change. And I realized in this just sudden sort of visceral physical way that she might die, not in like some hypothetical future sense, but within the next day or two. And it was horrifying.
Well, she did turn the corner. Doctors started talking to you about when you're going to take her home. It must have been simultaneously such a great news to hear, but also kind of terrifying.
Yes, I was very, very concerned about the lack of nurses at our house. And I obviously wanted to take her home, but maybe also with a few of the nurses. But then, and I think an ideal arrangement.
I think all of us with newborns have been in that scenario, but I imagine you had extra cause. I wonder, how this going to hell and back must have changed the way you relate just now in daily life to have been through something like that. I mean, as you describe yourself in this book, you were not a mellow person to begin with. You were prone to anxiety attacks about the little things in life. How does it change you to have been through something like this?
I was really quite surprised. I would have expected, if I had been told that something like this was going to happen, that it would be the thing that pushed me from being, as you so kindly put it, not a mellow person over the edge into just plastic covered everything. And, you know, but it actually has made me much less anxious. I don't worry about the things that a lot of other first-time mothers that I know worry about, organic foods and baby eating something off the floor and bathing, things like that. It just doesn't seem as important after all of that.
That's Alexa Stevenson. We've been talking about her daughter, Simone, and about her book, Half-Baked, The Story of My Nerves, My Newborn, and How We Both Learn to Breathe. And Alexa, I wonder if you would read us out, if you would read to us the last paragraph of your book on page 295.
Sure. At this particular moment, Simone is sprawled in a chair sucking on a Duplo, and looking at her, I see neither a miracle nor a time bomb, just my baby. The one who refused to eat the perfectly adequate dinner I prepared, and who is responsible for breaking most of my wine glasses, and whom I will sing to sleep tonight while she kisses my hair extravagantly. Simone was a late walker, not because of any physical delay, but because of a refusal to relinquish her hold on the furniture. She cruised around our apartment, obviously steady on her feet, for months, keeping one small hand on the couch or a table or a chair, using a pushwalker to cover distances that exceeded her arm span. One day, Simone just took off, and she hasn't stopped since. You should see her go.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.